Music and thanks for the blessing of having so many talented musicians and people who love you enough and who are willing to lead us in worship, God. And thank you for that blessing. And thanks for a fun game and just the life lesson that we can take from that. And God, we thank you for this morning, a chance to come together and hang out with you and hang out with each other. We pray that you would speak your words this morning, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So they were kind of nervous, you know. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody wanted you to do something and you didn't quite know for sure whether it was legit or not, but you kind of went along anyways? You know what I'm talking about? No? Nobody? Okay, Joe does. I'll talk to you then. It's kind of like that. And as they got together and they were kind of nervous and they didn't know exactly what to do. They started walking and they came up to the hill they were supposed to be at the top of. And they stopped and they kind of looked up at it and they looked around at each other and nobody really said anything. And they kind of walked up there not knowing exactly what to expect. Well, it was when they got up to the top of the hill that had happened. He was there. He was there for the very first time that they had seen him. And he had some words for him. Here it is, the end of Matthew. Chapter 28, verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" It's the last words that Jesus said to his disciples before he took off for heaven. And we're going to spend a couple weeks on it. And we're not really going to go in order because I didn't really want to. So we're going to go in kind of my order of this passage and talk about it a little bit. Today we're going to talk about baptism. What is it? What's the deal with baptism? Should we do it? Why should we do it? You know, what's the deal with this baptism thing? But before we do, let me just read this one more time. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." This is what God wants us to do. Anybody know what this is called? What Jesus said? Anybody know? Nobody? Anybody know what this is called, this passage? That's what I'm talking about. King's Academy! Whoop, whoop! Great Commission. I didn't say anything funny yet. It's called the Great Commission. Anybody know what a commission is? Someone gives you something to do, yeah. It's also like money that you earn for doing a job, right? But it's when somebody gives you something to do, they're commissioning you to some task, right? So yeah, like that. That's it. Does that happen to you often? Really? I don't think I'd pay you $100 to get my car washed, but maybe somebody would. So it's just like that, right? You're driving, you just got your license, you have your car, you're like, man, my car is dirty, but I don't want to wash it. So you get your buddy and you say, here's a $100 bill, take my car and go wash it. And this is exactly what we're talking about, the Great Commission. Right? Except for Jesus' car was the church, and his $100 was the Holy Spirit and heaven. Sweet. All right, so we're supposed to go make disciples and then baptize them and teach them to obey what Jesus has commanded, right? That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Go make disciples and then baptize them and teach them what Jesus said. And we'll talk about what is a disciple and what does Jesus say to do in the next week or two. But today we're going to talk a little bit about baptism. What does anybody know about baptism? Anything? Huh? What? What? Reborn? Yeah? What else? What about, get real practical, what does baptism look like? Getting wet. Yeah. Yeah. You get water up your nose when you get baptized. Anybody know anything else about baptism? How many kinds of baptism are there? Water kind? What three? Oh, if you want to go that way, we could go tons. We could go just drawing a water cross. We could do a lot. But yeah. So one involves water. What else? One involves fire. What else? And one involves the Holy Spirit. There are three. Water, fire, and the Holy Spirit. Check out, if you got a Bible, somebody help pass out some Bibles, because we got a few different passages to look at. Anybody? Somebody? Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Emily. All right, you get a Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 3.
How do you get a fire? Burn them?
Wow,
God's having
a big guy.
All right, Matthew chapter 3. Fellas, Matthew chapter 3. If you got two Bibles, open them both to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew is about 78% of the way through your Bible. Anybody got a page number? 534 in the blue book. All right, bring it in. Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 11, it's a guy named John the Baptist who's talking here. And John the Baptist came right before Jesus. He's actually Jesus' cousin. And he's talking about baptism. Matthew 3, starting in verse 11. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. That would be Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Stop there real quick. What does that mean? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. What about baptism with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, he gives you the Holy Spirit, right? And so here's the deal. No matter what, you get baptized. One way or another, you're getting baptized. Right? Either you're going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, or you get baptized with fire. What is this fire? Norman kind of hit it, but check out verse 12, the very next verse. His winnowing fork is in his hand. Anybody know what a winnowing fork is? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, kind of. You toss it up in the air. Yeah. So it says, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so basically what that's saying is, you're either the wheat and you get to stay in the barn, which is, you know, the place you kind of want to be. I don't know why. Barns aren't that great, but that's the kind of the picture that he's gone for. You either get to stay in the barn with God, or you get thrown into the fire. And those are your two options of baptism. One way or another, getting baptized, and you kind of get to pick which one. Why get baptized, though, with water? That's not one of those two kind of baptisms. But check out, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. It's to the right. We got a page number?
Wait, what is it?
1 Corinthians 12, 6:36. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says this: the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. One Spirit to drink. So baptism in water, what's the deal with that? Why do that? Anybody have any idea? Because it's better than nothing. True, I guess. What does baptism mean? When we get baptized in water, what does that mean? It's a symbol, right? Good. What is it a symbol for? Kind of. So how we do baptism here at PBC is we have this sweet portable baptismal that we fill with water, and then it's got a little heater that heats the water for like a whole night until we do the baptisms, and then it's heated, kind of, sort of. And so you jump in the baptismal, and a pastor jumps in the baptismal, and they say, you know, hey, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they throw you under water, and then they pull you back. What? Yeah, and then they hold you there till the bubbles stop, and then pull you up. And then they pull you up and do mouth-to-mouth on you, and then you're like a new person. So that's kind of how we do it here. Here's what it's kind of symbolic of. It's symbolic of dying to your old self. And so, you know, when they put you under, it's like you've died. It's like you're in the tomb, like Christ was in the tomb, right? He was in a water tomb. You have to know Greek to know that. That's a lie. He was in a cave tomb. But it's sort of like a water tomb. Think about it. And then when they pull you up, it's like you're a new person. It's like you're reborn. It's like you're resurrected, right? And so it's the symbol that says to the people who are watching you be baptized, it's saying, I'm dying to my old self, how I used to be, my self-centeredness, making me the center of my universe, and I'm being raised to something new, to something different, where Christ is the center. And I want to obey what he says. And that's kind of why we get baptized. It's kind of this symbol to say that. But check out 1 Corinthians 12. This is talking about a baptism in the Holy Spirit, but it also applies for a water baptism. It says, you know, we just read it. 12:13 says this, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And that's kind of the key. Why did we get baptized? It's sort of like an initiation, right, into the family of God, into the body of Christ. It's kind of like that. You have to be baptized by the Holy Spirit in order to be in the family of God, and you should be baptized by water. And it's kind of just this, hey, I'm dying to my old self, I'm going to live a new life, and I want to be a part of this body, I want to be a part of this family. And it doesn't include us right here. It also includes, you know, everybody who meets down here before and after this. And it also includes, you know, the churches on this street. And also includes churches in California and the churches in the United States and the churches in the Western Hemisphere and the churches in the whole world and some churches on Mars, potentially. Ah? No. There's no churches on Mars. Wake up. Come on. Thanks. Thanks for the pity laugh. I appreciate it. But it's sort of this thing that's saying, I am being baptized into something, right? You're being baptized into Christ. You're being baptized and you're becoming a part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Are you with me on that? Check out Romans 6:4. Go left in your Bibles. Romans 6:4 says this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so he's talking about baptism again. It's that symbolism of burying your old self, all the old things you used to do, you know, you being the most important thing in your own life, you not worrying about other people and what they think or about God and what He thinks, and then coming up new, where other people are just as important as you and God's the most important thing ever. And you're in the family of Christ, you're in the body of Christ. Check out this verse, Mark 16:16. Turn there if you got a Bible right now. Mark 16:16. This one's the one that gets me every time. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in Mark. I don't know why I said Luke. The very end. Anybody got a page number? 16:16. 565? Check it out. It says this. This is Jesus talking here. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And it's kind of talking about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of fire. But did you read what it says? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. What does that mean? Somebody tell me what that means. How do you get saved? You get baptized? That's what I thought too. But somebody tell me this. Is baptism necessary to be saved? Baptism of the Holy Spirit is. What about baptism in water? No. Not necessary. It's true. Even though it says that right here, it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's kind of like this. This is how I kind of think of it, and this is kind of a little bit crude, so I apologize beforehand. But fellas, you guys are going to know what I'm talking about here. And ladies, I'm guessing you will too, but you don't have to admit it. It's like this. You know when you just ate like a full meal, right? And you're like, man, you know what would make me feel really good right now? If I took a huge dump. Like I would feel so, you know what I'm talking about? Are you with me? Okay, all right, cool. You with me? Ladies, you don't have to admit it, but give me like a silent, like a little nod. Yeah, okay, all right. I got a lot of little nods from the ladies. All right. So you just ate this big meal, and you have to take this dump, right? And so you go, and you take the dump, and then you wipe, you know, because you're hygienic, right? This is a similar statement, right? Okay. Whoever, listen, this is key right here. This is key. Stop getting mental pictures of people dumping. Don't. We're trying to do spiritual things here. Don't. Although, check it out. Allison's parents went to Bali, and they... Allison's parents went to Bali, and over there they have these... What are they called again? They're called like floor pans or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? Anyways, basically it's a hole in the ground, and you got to squat like this. So don't get that mental picture if you're thinking about this. But think about that, right? So you just had like Thanksgiving dinner and you're like, man, I would feel so much better if I took a dump right now. So you go and you take a dump and then you wipe and then you feel good. You're relieved, right? All right, this is the same statement. See if you can track with me here. This is going to be profound. You guys are going to be like, oh, I get baptism now. All right, ready? And here it is. Whoever takes a dump and wipes will be relieved, but whoever does not take a dump will not be relieved. You get it? All right, it's just like that. Okay, it's just like that. Do you have to wipe in order to feel relieved? The correct answer is no, you do not. But does it help? Absolutely it helps. Absolutely. That's kind of like what this verse is saying. Whoever is baptized, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will not be saved or will be condemned. Are you tracking with me? So wipe. But you don't have to. But it's suggested. It's kind of like that. With baptism, the more I read about baptism, the more it seems like as Christians, if you call your... Hey, stick, bring it back in real quick. Bring it back in real quick. The more I read about baptism and study about it and understand it, the more it seems to me that as Christians, we should be baptized. We need to get baptized. If you call yourself a Christian in here today and you haven't been baptized yet, you need to get baptized. It's just kind of something that we do in order to show that, hey, we're living a new life. We're going to act different. We're going to be different. And we want to be a part of the family of God. So if you're in here and you're a Christian and you've never been baptized, you know, really start praying about, God, should I get baptized? God, when should I get baptized? I lost my train of thought. I was picturing myself squatting. I got, no, sorry. But, we should all get baptized. But, baptism does not save us. You're not saved by getting baptized. Why do we do it? Mostly it's because Jesus told us to do it. Jesus said, make disciples, then baptize them, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Go get baptized. Here's why we kind of skipped to that instead of talking about disciple this week. Next week, our church is having a baptism here. And I want to encourage you guys, hey, if you guys have never been baptized, come talk to me or talk to your small group leader or talk to another one of the pastors here and let us know that you want to get baptized because we're going to be doing that here. And honestly, there's nothing cooler in church than when somebody gets baptized. I mean, I know church has a reputation of not being that cool, but because we consider things like this cool, but it is cool. Because it symbolizes you coming into the family of God. And no longer are you just somebody who comes to youth group and a part of this youth group and, you know, go to Hume and play broom hockey and go houseboating and do all these things that we do and kind of not make it anything else. But now you're a part of the family of God that includes adults, it includes kids, it includes other teenagers, and it includes them all over the whole world. And it brings you into something special. So, you know, really think about, really pray about whether or not you should get baptized. I know a couple of you guys already are getting baptized next week. But I want to encourage you guys to do that. If you have any more questions about baptism, this is a real quick one, a little talk on it. You can either come talk to me later or today at 12:45, there's a luncheon, and they're talking about baptism. So you can go to that. It's just downstairs in the fellowship hall, 12:45 today. So do that. So yeah, talk to somebody if you're interested in getting baptized, or if you're just kind of curious of whether you should or not. You know, talk to somebody. Let's close in prayer. We got some announcements, and then we'll be done. God, I want to thank you for letting us be your body. Thank you for giving us baptism as kind of a symbol of us entering into you and into your family that's worldwide, God, and being a part of something way bigger than we are, God. And, God, we thank you for that. God, we also thank you for giving us things like baptism and like communion to help us kind of understand spiritual things a little better, God, and help us understand the spiritual truths that you want us to. What does it mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, God? And I thank you for giving us water baptism to kind of help us understand that. And God, I pray that, pray for anyone in here who is a believer and who hasn't been baptized, God. Show them whether they should get baptized this week or not, next Sunday. And God, give them the courage to do that. I know sometimes it can be scary, but that's something that's totally worth it. And God, I just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you that love always prevails over violence. And thank you once again just for a great time of worship and music. And praise in Jesus' name. Amen.